Never give up. Fighting till the end, gotta get back up. No time for loss. Fighting till the end, no matter what the cost.
Keep moving,
gotta get back up. What?
Keep moving,
gotta get back up.
Keep moving,
gotta get back up. What?
Keep moving,
gotta get back up.
Come on in. Happy, happy. Is it Thursday?
I think it's Thursday. I don't know. I have no idea. Remember, I've had a hip transplant. No, I didn't have a transplant. I had a hip replacement. A THR? A total hip replacement? I think that's what it's called. It's weird. If you're young, you have no idea. It's just something your grandparents talk about. But if you're old, and I'm not yet, sort of, it's relative, you know what I'm talking about. So today we're going to talk about productivity efficiency. It's a big conversation I have all the time. And here's, well, I'll tell you here's why in a second, but you need to do that. And the first thing you want to do right now is just pay attention. The thing you don't want to do is go Google productivity, because as soon as you do, I've lost you for the next 5 days. You're gone. That's it. You start making notes, start going to podcasts, look at YouTube videos, how to be more productive, and you realize, man, I didn't get anything done last week. Stop that. It is a daily boost from motivationtomove.com, the positive boost you need every single day, episode 4,829. My name is Scott Smith. I'm the gentleman with the new hip. Look right here. It's pretty awesome. Now, I'm projecting because I'm recording this show before I have my hip, so I'm just projecting. It's going to be awesome. It's pretty. It's shiny. I asked my doctor, I said, do I need to get some, like, ceramic polish for it? He said, Stud, you can't touch it. He looked at, I was kidding. I think, doctors get caught up in their own little world, and I live in a world which basically says, mess with the doctor caught up in his world. Good to have you here today. These shows are pre-recorded this week. And this is, I'm convalescing probably. By now, I'm probably running marathons. I'm just not telling you yet because I don't want my doctor to know I did that. I did ask him. I said, so what's the fastest recovery you've ever seen? He said, well, I had one guy had his hip replaced, and he sent me a picture. 3 days later, he's in a spin class, standing up, doing a spin class. I said, man, what's happened? He said, well, let me tell you the other side of the story. He's also the guy that came back the fastest to get it fixed. I said, ah, got it. Lesson right there. Boom. Good job, doctor. It's good stuff. You know, it's interesting. Come on in here just a little bit as I talk to you just a tad this week. I'm really kind of stream of consciousness. It's a convalescent consciousness conversation this week, right? Oh, I like that alliteration. That's cool. But I'm a upbeat, motivated kind of guy. I don't understand a lot of old people because, you know, a lot of them are, they're not that way. But they're like a lot of young people, too. They're not that way either. And my whole entire life, I ran into people like that no matter where I went. Stuck at a place. And I walk in the door believing anything is possible and just being realistic and say, well, let's do it. Because I totally believe that you get what you think about, as long as you get off your ass and go do something about it. Now, while I'm convalescing, I can't necessarily be off my ass, but I can metaphorically be there, and that's where we are today. So I'm going into this thing in a matter of, like, let's project forward. Let's be positive about it. Let's take what we got and just make lemonade out of the lemons that we have. And I want you to do the same thing constantly. If I play no other role other than completely driving you crazy because I talk too fast, sometimes slurring my words, messing up what I should be saying in the wrong way. Sometimes I make you laugh like crazy, and other times I totally get you mad. If I do nothing other than that, well, that's pretty good, actually. That's, a lot of people can't do that. That's a real skill set. But if you just realize that the one thing I think I do very well, thank God for my mom giving me this trait, is no matter what the hell life throws at me, I just go, oh, man, that stinks. All right, let's go fix it. That's why the Daily Boost is here. At least for now. At the end of the year, it might become something else. We'll see what happens. If you like me in the stream of consciousness stuff, you might want to talk me into it. Because I'm kind of letting loose a little bit this week, and I'm just kind of feeling like, yeah, I don't know if this is the right thing to do, but what the hell? Joe Rogan needs somebody to challenge him. Let's talk about productivity and efficiency and productivity. I'll get to the show. A lot of people said, no, he wasn't there in 32 seconds. I'm gone. You lost the click. Good. See you later. Can't worry about anybody else, can you? You just can't. When you start worrying about everybody else on the planet is when you sink and are unhappy. When you just do your own thing and find the people who are your tribe who like you, that's when you soar. Take that to the bank. And you will, I promise you. So why do I want to talk about productivity efficiency? So let me set this up first. Are we 8 minutes? We're 4 minutes into the program. Okay. I'm not keeping track today. It's over there somewhere. I'm having to do the math while I talk to you. So I have my Face Your Passion coaching group. These are cool people. And you should be a member someday. Although I'm not taking everybody. You got to be in a certain spot to be part of my group, because I don't want to mess up the equilibrium of the group. And so you have to be a certain spot. But these people, generally speaking, have done a little bit of personal development work, probably a lot, actually. They're in their careers. They're pretty settled. They're between 28 and 60 years old. And what they have in common is they really have built a life they love, except it's not quite all there. And so our job is to figure that out, is to help them get there. We do that through a process. We use an awareness process to get there that works very well. So here's from a coachy coach standpoint, here's what happens next. And most of y'all get this backwards. What you, most of you do, you look at the productivity. If I get more productive, I can be the person I want to be. We don't do that. What we do is we say, okay, let's figure out, you know, what's driving you, what's the inner driving values, what do you really want, what do you pay attention to? And then we start reverse engineering the productivity we need to get there. Because the reality is once you're focused, that's when productivity comes into play. It's not about doing more stuff. It's about more stuff that's important to you. So I talk about this all the time. And to be honest, I'm pretty freaked out about it sometimes. Really cool people who really know what they're talking about and have so much going on in their life, and they can't control the stuff around them. So I spend way more time talking about productivity than I ever thought I would. But it is a tool. It's a skill set. It's a mastery that we have to get what we want. So let's give you a couple of ideas. If any of this relates to you at all, here's a couple of ideas about how to be more efficient. Number one rule, always say no to meetings if at all possible. And if you have to do them, keep them short and sweet. Now, I know that sounds kind of generic, but let's expand it a little bit. Yes, meetings at work. Yes, community meetings. It's amazing when you get a group of people together, even at church. It's amazing how those people suddenly will keep you busy and tie you up in a meeting. Your relationships with your kids, with your wife, with your husband, with any family members. It is amazing how meetings show up. I like to consider Facebook a meeting. If I jump on the Facebook feed and I interact with anybody there, I'm officially in a meeting and I'm distracted from everything else. If somebody pops up on my chat, my messenger, I'm now in a meeting. Say no as much as possible. I rarely type anything in response. If I type more than about 10 words and they come back at me again, I pick up the phone to call them. Okay, must be in a meeting. Let's do it. Look at everything in your life as a meeting. Heck, going to the grocery store is a meeting. Control it. That doesn't mean order everything. That doesn't mean use Instacart all the time. You poor people who order everything, man, you're missing out on the world. Oh, I don't have time for that. I don't have time to go leisurely shop in the grocery store and enjoy my produce. Your life is upside down. You're doing that stuff. You're not that important. I'm not either. Nobody is. Say no to meetings as much as possible. Look at meetings as almost anything that you do every single day. Somebody said, man, I never heard anybody talk about that before. That's different. Welcome to Scott Shows. Number two, delay paying attention to incoming communication. It's nothing more than somebody else's to-do list. I'm not the first to say that. Probably stole it from somebody. Just going to be honest. We all steal stuff from everybody. Don't even know it, right? You'll be talking about something for like 20 years and go, wait a second, I didn't say that first. I thought I said it first. It happens. But do your stuff first. Now, why do I talk about this? Because I literally, and he's going to love me, not going to say his name, talked to a client yesterday. I've had this client 3 years now. And we cover lots of things. It's been a just amazing journey in his life, helping him do personal and business stuff. And yesterday it was, well, Scott, how do you control your email communication? And please, he knows me really well, so he's going to get this. And he knows my jaw would drop. Like I said, it's like all this massive success, incredible success, and that's the conversation. It's back to basics. You don't need all these hacks. Just delay responding to any incoming communication because it is somebody else's to-do list, and do your stuff first and then get back to them. I have 4 texts that just came in on me while I'm talking to you right now. I don't know why I didn't turn off my text thing. It's there. They're asking me about tomorrow. You know, my surgery's coming. You're going to be okay? You ready? All right. I'll get back to them here in a second. They can wait. They're not sitting there waiting for me. Number three. Delay interruptions will never go away. I mean, our daily interruptions, that's the word I was looking for. I thought delay sounds stupid. Yeah, daily interruptions will never go away. You may as well expect them and plan for them. So really soak this into your noggin right now. You will continuously and forever be interrupted by something. That's what happens. If you're focused tightly, you're not going to be interrupted because you're focused. But the minute you release that focus, it's like the universe says, come on, let's go get him. He's not paying attention. And all your friends do the same thing. They do. They're going to interrupt you. Somebody said, Scott, I just closed my door and that's good. I said, yeah, I did too, until they started knocking on the door. Then some dude somewhere saw it. I have an open door policy. Dumbest dude I ever knew. Really? Close your door. Put a sign on it. Leave me alone. I'll be out at noon. Tell me I'm not wrong. Right. Got to focus. Got to pay attention. Now, by the way, there are some people, if you're in customer service, your door has to be open. People say, yeah, but the boss of the company, the big CEO, he's making all the money, doesn't seem to do any work. Yeah, because he got up at 4 o'clock in the morning, did everything he had to do, went to the gym, had a personal trainer, and showed up so he could spend time in the hallway talking to you. Interruptions are his job. If they're your job, just expect them. They're not ever going to go away. You're not going to get rid of them. The minute you think you do, something's going to happen. In Florida, sometimes we call that a hurricane. Number 4, only schedule up to 50% of your day. That's a hard, ironclad rule for me. It gives you more time for the unexpected. Again, those interruptions, those unexpected events are going to come up anyway. I do a lot of coaching, and I really enjoy that part of it. I enjoy the podcast, but I enjoy really helping people and talking to them on the phone. But that takes up my personal time too, which is fine. I do what I love, right? But I can only do it so much. And at 50% of my day, my ability to focus and really help has been really taxed at that point. In fact, I would even go so far as to say, you don't even have 50% of your day. You might have 20 or 30% of actually really enjoying your job, really enjoying what you're doing, and really being helpful. But I also understand that, hey, 50% of scheduled of your day is, that's reasonable. So do that. Just keep control of it. And the reason is so you have more time on the other side of it. I see it too many times. I've been doing this job long enough now. It just comes down to that. I've talked to tens of thousands of people again and again and again, the same thing over and over and over again for year after year after year. 50% of your day. That's the rule. And the big one that is never, well, okay, let me give you an out on this, okay? No more multitasking. Finish one task before the next. There's a lot of ways to think about this. We can discuss this all we want to, but there are some mind signs here. First off, your mind, your prefrontal cortex, your executive center of your brain can truly only totally focus on one thing. That's it. That's the job of the executive center of your brain, to focus on one thing. And really, its job is to focus on novel items, new stuff. That's where your focus should be. So, but it can only really do one. Yes, it can sort of kind of manage stuff in the background up to, some people say, 4 to 7 additional thoughts in the background. But ultimately, when you get dialed into one thing, that's all you can do. So multitasking is just doesn't work. Plus, if you focus on one task and get it done, guess what? You get to check it off and go to the next one. If you do a piece of a task, if you have 10 tasks and you just do a little piece of each 10 tasks, it takes 10 times as long to finish. That's all there is to it. But at the end of the day, your mind doesn't know how to focus on more than one thing. Now, for those who say, but Scott, times have changed. We can do everything. Yeah, but you can't do it at once. I don't care if times have changed. I don't care if you think you can do more. Trust me, if you're paying attention to 10 things and I give you a call, you're not paying attention to me. But here's the secret. If you're not paying attention to me, I know how to get you to pay attention to me, and you're not going to like how I do it. So just listen to me. All right, so say no to meetings whenever possible. Delay any incoming communication. Daily interruptions are a thing. They will never go away. Just expect them. Plan for them. Schedule 50% of your day, no more than that, so you have time for the stuff you didn't expect. And no more multitasking. We're going to have to come up with another name for that. That needs to be reinvented. It's time. I shall do it. I have the qualifications. I have nearly 5,000 podcasts. I should give it a name and cast my authority upon the new name of No More Multitasking. That doesn't work. I'll find something for you. Holy moly. Where did... How much coffee did I have today? Oh, gosh. I get excited about the silliest things. Surgery? It's weird. I must be sick. Not sick. Creatively inspired.
Keep moving. Gotta get back up. What?